Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Looking forward to the journey with you today. We're asking the question, should Christians be involved in politics? Now, that's a question that's loaded, if you will. What is politics? What forms the term politics? Do you find that term anyplace in the Bible? Do you find any bifurcation of life and living in the Bible? Do you find anything in the Scripture where it gives a set of rules and regulations of where Christians cannot go as far as the political process or the process that is required of us as citizens of a great nation? The answer to that question, those questions, are no. But ladies and gentlemen, our nation, our states, and our cities are facing today the reality of the woke cancel culture. And as such today, ladies and gentlemen, every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot, I say, must stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and no longer sit in silence. Our nation, I believe, my most humble opinion, you can disagree if you like, I believe our nation is in the declining position that it's in today because of silence in the pulpit, silence from Christians, silence from so many conservatives and patriots in America, that we have allowed the woke cancel culture and the Biden administration to simply rule and reign. And many are sitting in silence today. Pastors are petrified to speak from the pulpit about truth because of the so-called separation of church and state that they believe is real. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious question, and after a few moments of monologue, we're going to introduce a very special guest today that will talk about some of these issues and the purpose for the Christian, conservative, and the patriots to become involved in the political process and to vet the candidates and put the right candidates in office. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book, as I like to call it. The Scripture says in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus says, I am truth. And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we ought to place our confidence, our trust, and our dependence upon today. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, it says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. It is a truth that never fails. It is the truth that ever ends. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that there are a lot of folks today that disagree with that and feel that somehow, some way, we ought not to have the statement about truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, may I quote, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, to have a mindset today, just as the secularist George Orwell said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be truthful today. We find Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and a number of those on a federal level, state level, and local level that have the mindset somehow, some way, that truth is not sought for and is not needed today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment, ladies and gentlemen, that allows your family to worship with you on Sunday, because Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing you to be in the house of God, with the family of God, as God's Word intends it. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, and see what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in that era and that time that there seems to be a confusion as to what Christians ought to do, conservatives and patriots, and how we should respond to what we see taking place in society today. Although many believe and think somehow, some way, that we simply should comply, ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset that says that Christians and conservatives and patriots, we ought to just play dead, if I can use that term. We ought to just bury our head in the sand like an ostrich and pretend these things are not taking place. We need to just close our eyes. And in some cases, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks that believe that Christians and Christian pastors and churches and church members ought to just be silent about political issues. That's simply not what I find in the scripture. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article titled, "Are Christians Becoming Second-Class Citizens?" And ladies and gentlemen, it talks about the Faith and Liberty Council has met, and they discussed these issues. One of them says here, a Christian website found out through a leaked memo that Discover Card has decided to shut down all card members' donations to give, entitled Give, Send, and Go, the top free Christian crowdfunding site. This is just the tip of the iceberg, this writer says. These radical groups want much more than to censor you. They want to completely destroy you. Discover Credit Card Company claimed that Christian groups broke operating regulations. But when our team and the organization's CEO both reached out to Discover, the company was unable to say what regulations had been broken by those that they had censored. But ladies and gentlemen, we find an article looking at the problem with not talking about politics. We want us to understand this before we get into the meat of our dialogue and discussion today with our one of our Florida candidates running for Florida House District 15. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says the problem with not talking about politics at church. Here's the problem with saying we must never talk about politics at church. We immediately cede to politicians the right to define what is political and what is theological. And then the church loses its voice on theology because important biblical concepts may have been wrongly labeled politics and therefore considered off limits. Care for the planet was a biblical issue before it was political. Gender equality was a biblical issue before it was political. The sanctity of life, all life, by the way, was to be a biblical issue before it was political. Care for the poor was a biblical issue before it became a political issue. How to treat immigrants was a biblical issue before it ever became a political issue. Predatory lending was a biblical issue before it was called political. Love thy neighbor was a biblical issue before it became political. Being a good steward of financial resources was a biblical issue before it ever was viewed as a political issue. Telling the truth has always been a biblical issue before it was ever considered a political issue. Further in this article, it states, to deny that these, in fact, biblical issues are at root gives politics too much sway over the church. Politicians and political movements should not get to define what is political and what is theological and what is biblical. The Pew Research Center recently released a national survey saying 64% of American churchgoers have heard religious leaders preach about political issues. Examples cited are religious liberty, homosexuality, abortion, immigration, the environment, and economic inequality, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, all of those issues, each one that I enumerated, each of those issues are first biblical and then considered to be political issues. And ladies and gentlemen, I, for one, sit here today and say to you, I'm not going to take the back seat in a bus. I'm not going to be considered a second-class citizen. I'm not going to cede my right, my authority through the biblical text to simply speak out and say what needs to be said and done. I'm not going to sit in silence as a result of what some think in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. And by the way, just to lay your thoughts at rest for those that may be thinking, well, you know, the Bible says that government is of God, and therefore Christians ought to obey government because government is from God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever sit down and properly exegete Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, you'll find that God created government to protect the good and to prosecute the evil. And today we have it in reverse order. We have the government with big tech censors that's out to prosecute good and to protect evil, and that's seen on every hand in America today, especially since Biden took the Oval Office by a fraud that had been perpetrated upon Americans, that some Americans believe today that he was really elected with about 81 million votes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, I'm going to give you the Buckman Bridge. I'll dismantle it and I'll reassemble it in your backyard free of charge. That is simply not true. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to deal with the fact that as Christians, we need to take a stand today, perhaps more than ever before. Here's an article that says, lawsuit accuses the state officials of interfering with the Christian school's beliefs. A lawsuit has been filed in federal court in Washington State that accuses the Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, of interfering with Christian beliefs at Seattle Pacific University. The lawsuit explains that Ferguson has refused to recognize the school's constitutional right to decide matters of faith and doctrine in hiring employees who share its religious beliefs and to select and retain ministers free from government interference. Quote, despite the Constitution's clear prohibition on interference in matters of church governance, including entangling investigations of religious employment decisions and the selection of ministers, Washington State's Attorney General has launched a probe that does just that, according to the filing. The Attorney General has taken the position that politics like Seattle's Pacifics, that's the one that's the organizational structure, which asks leaders to follow a religious organization's teaching, are unlawful, unwelcome in the state of Washington. The Attorney General is wielding state power to interfere with religious beliefs of religious universities and churches whose beliefs he disagrees with. He is using the power of his office, even though that power is not granted to his office, to pressure and to prosecute and retaliate against Seattle Pacific University. The fight is all over the left's movement sweeping across America these days to endorse the LGBTQ agenda and force others to disagree if it adopts it as well, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, may I simply say, we're in an era today that I believe it's time we sit up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I believe it's time Christians, conservatives, and patriots vet the candidates, find the candidates that suited based on the Word of God, and place them in office to be the leaders in our nation. In Exodus, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse, the Scripture gives God's election guide. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all these people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Ladies and gentlemen, it talks about able men, those that are able, those that have capacity and capability and competence, such as fear God, those that reverence God, respect God, honor God above all, and those that have a reputation, men of truth, those that have a reputation and reliability of being truthful. and hating covetousness, the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, that is, they're not grasping and greedy. They're not going into public office to be fed at the trough rather than earning a livelihood and a living. We have too many today that are in political office, in D.C. in particular. It's been there 20, 30, 40 years. I believe it's time that era be ended. And ladies and gentlemen, today it's our delight. By the way, let me remind you, failed to do so. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're listening by way of internet, it's 904-831-0917. Love to have your dialogue and discussion on the issue today. Should Christians be involved in politics? And today, ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight to have with us a very special guest, a guest that has been with us before, but needs to be reintroduced, perhaps. It is Emily Nunes. Emily is running for, I believe she's the best candidate, by the way, if I can put my 2 cents worth in, a little parenthetical footnote on the statement. I believe Emily Nunes is the best candidate for District 15 for the Florida House. Emily is a candidate that I believe will make a difference in Tallahassee for what we as Christians and conservatives and those that are ones that stand for truth and stand for our flag, that are patriots in America and the state of Florida. I believe she's the best candidate. So, Emily, delighted to have you with us today. Thank you for taking time out of a very busy last-minute schedule and candidating and campaigning in our state. Thank you for joining us today, Emily.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
I'm delighted that you're available. I'm thankful that you're running. And Emily, since some of our listeners may not have heard you before, would you take a moment and simply take several minutes, if you like, share with our listeners your background, some of your criteria as to what you are wanting to accomplish when being elected in office? What motivates you? What is the passion that you have for running for this seat in the Florida House?
Sure. I'm originally from Duval County. I graduated from Nathan Bedford Forrest High School, enlisted into the military at 17 years old. Went to Atsugi, Japan for my first deployment with the Navy, or my first duty station with the Navy. Came back to Pensacola, Florida, did a tour of duty with the United States Navy Blue Angels, and then I commissioned into the Marine Corps because I was selected for an officer commissioning program. Finished my degree at Auburn University. Went back over to Okinawa, Japan with the Marine Corps as a communications officer, and I came back home to Jacksonville in December of 2016. Since then, I've moved to Nassau County, Yulee, Florida. For the last 5 years or so, I have been working in retirement planning, designing, implementing, and managing retirement plans, so I'm fully licensed to give investment advice. I decided to run for office because I feel like there is a lack of moral courage amongst our elected officials to say and do what needs to be said and done to effectuate real change in Florida and in our country. Our governor has been doing an amazing job. I fully support him and his efforts in doing that, and I want to go to Tallahassee to give him some support in the issues and on the bills that he would like to see passed and the laws that he would like to have passed. I decided also during the moment of all the COVID hysteria and lockdowns that I wanted to run for office because I felt that it was a tragedy. The one moment where we were trusting elected officials to uphold the Constitution and to protect our rights, we had government picking winners and losers in the economy. We had government telling people like myself, veterans, that we were non-essential after we had just served our country. And it was a tragedy. And nobody wanted to be the one to stand alone and say what needed to be said. And that's why I'm running for office today.
I'm thankful to hear some of those very, very powerful statements, Emily. I am in full agreement with each thing that you've just stated. And I pray that our listeners will be cognizant of those facts. Let me just, on the heels of what you've just said, ask a very, I believe, pertinent question. The World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, has just announced a global health emergency because of monkeypox. We got about 120 cases, I believe, in New York and several cases in a number of the states in America. And Joe Biden has just said that he is on the verge of declaring a national emergency, health emergency. If that takes place, Biden will more than likely want to reinstitute lockdowns, mask mandates, etc. How would you stand as a conservative elected leader? Would you allow the state of Florida to go back into a lockdown mode? Would you, as a legislator in the state of Florida, stand against the mask mandates that were so egregious until our governor stepped in and said no masking? What would your position be on the so-called monkeypox that I believe is the next thing around the corner for the next pandemic? When monkeypox, if anybody has not been informed, monkeypox is transmitted through the sodomite community, and as a result of that, it is spreading, and each of the cities and counties where it's majorly spreading happens to be those that have an immoral lifestyle. So I know that that's a rambling statement, but the bottom line question, Emily, for our listeners, how will you stand on the next so-called health emergency? Will you stand with we the people that we are important, that we are essential, churches are essential, homes and families are essential, and that we need not be locked down? What will your position be? How will you stand with that?
I will absolutely stand for the people, and I'm hoping that more will resist any sort of, you know, hysteria like that. Shame on those who fell for it the first time. I don't think that we have a problem with that here in the state of Florida, because our governor did such a great job in standing by himself, and all the other governors kept their economies closed. But I would not stand for it. I did stand for it the first time. I think that, you know, the communist takeover in our government is very strong, and they use hysteria to control and to create distractions while other very serious and very dangerous things are occurring elsewhere, like in our education and with our children. I will absolutely not allow the government to do that here in the state of Florida. I would be a voice. You know, when so many during the lockdowns weren't saying a word, so many of our legislators were just very silent. It was very sad and very disturbing, but I will not be one of those legislators. I personally do not have the COVID vaccine. I would not get a monkeypox vaccine. I stand for health freedom, and that should have always been a choice for people to do that. I'm a veteran, and I think other veterans know when a crisis happens, the world doesn't stop. You deal with information as it comes in, and you adapt to that change, and you make decisions. It's very fluid. And so I would not support anything like that ever happening again. It shouldn't happen in the first place, in my opinion.
Emily, I'm thankful to hear those statements, powerful, passionate statements in relationship to that. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that some federal judges have already started ruling with a sane decision. For example, some 60,000 National Guardsmen were about to be put out of a position of guarding our nation as a result of saying no to the COVID vaccine. And now a federal judge has ruled that the military must respect and must accept religious exemptions for those that request it. I'm thankful that those decisions are being made now. I'm delighted to see several judge rulings that's making possible some sanity in the insane world that we've gone through in the past 2 years just because of the COVID pandemic, or plandemic, as so many call it. Emily, let me ask you a question. You touched on it in brevity with your statement, but the governor signed the bill 1557. It was House Bill 1557. Signed it into law, went into effect July the 1st of this year. And it forbids, it forecloses, based on law, any teacher, any school, any educational institution in the state of Florida from having the teacher, kindergarten through third grade, to teach any student, introduce any student to the LGBTQ lifestyle and or agenda and or the CRT. Do you believe that needs to be expanded to kindergarten through 12th grade?
I would absolutely support expanding that K through 12. Those issues have no business in the classroom. Those topics should be left to the parent. And it has been slowly, well, I guess not slowly, but we have, you know, neglected these things happening in our schools for so long that we're unfortunately having to be reactive and moving forward, we can be proactive in getting better control over what's happening in our schools. The only thing I can say that happened, one positive thing that happened during COVID was that we were, it was brought to our attention, all of these things that were happening right underneath our nose. And unfortunately, it took COVID for us to be aware of it and to get a hold of it and to fix it.
What would you recommend, Emily? And I know this would be a personal recommendation, and I don't mind making direct personal recommendations about issues that I'm passionate about. What would you recommend for any parent or grandparent if they discover that their county school system, whether it's Clay County, St. John's County, Duval County, or others across the state — I'm familiar with these three in particular, Nassau, Clay, St. John's, and Duval, these four. What would you say to a parent if they discover that a teacher or a school or a school superintendent purposely violating that law, the House Bill 1557 that became law? What should that parent or grandparent do? How should they — is there a reporting place? Is there a way that they can go through a process to get remedy for that nonchalant disregard of the law?
I think the biggest issue right now is that we're trying to figure out, or the legislature is trying to figure out, what's the best way to report those issues, as you've just asked. But I would definitely say that anyone should definitely call their state representative, their elected officials, and let them know that this is happening so that it can be escalated to the appropriate authorities, and we can, come up with a plan of action to tackle this. But I think that the governor getting involved and endorsing, Republican candidates for the school boards, is a great step in the right direction to prevent us having to, result in needing an entire reporting system for these issues.
Yes, and I'm in full agreement. And I'm looking at an article, Emily. Don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It says radicals sued the state of Florida to keep pornography in the state school libraries. Dateline July the 28th. Far-left activists in Florida have launched a lawsuit against four school districts in the state because they followed the state law, the parental rights and education legislation that was signed by Governor Ron DeSantis. The legislation prohibits educators from having conversations with students, kindergarten through third grade, involving sexual orientation, gender identity, without express parental approval. It goes on to say, but activist Jen Cousins is fighting that effort, naming in a lawsuit schools in Orange County, Duval County, Indian River County, and Palm Beach. The lawsuit being handled by the extremists of the Southern Poverty Law Center and other foundations claimed the law was enacted to shame and to silence LGBTQ students and their families. How should we view this? Is this something that we should be fearful that they can somehow overturn the law? Or do you think this is a blip on the radar where they're just expressing their displeasure over being controlled in the classroom with morals, ethics, and values?
I think as long as we have Governor DeSantis in office, we have nothing to worry about with this issue. We have a lot of great groups out there, Moms for Liberty and others, that are actively pushing back against this woke nonsense that's happening. I think this is just the typical move from the left to express displeasure that conservatives are finally standing up, finally pushing back, and not taking any more of the nonsense that's happening.
Absolutely. Emily, we've got about 30 seconds left before the top of the hour news break. Take this moment to give our listeners some contact information for your campaign.
Sure. My website is emilynunez.com. I also give my personal number out to anyone who has questions, 904-403-8903. Happy to take calls, questions, concerns at that number.
Very
Emily
good. Emily
at emilynunez.com is also my email.
Emily, if you would, hold on for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.